Before we get going here, gotta talk about our proud partner, Rawlings Canada. For over 130 years, Rawlings has been the most trusted brand in diamond sports. Every Rawlings product is carefully crafted with the finest materials available and assembled, weighed, measured, tested, and inspected for the highest possible level of quality and consistency. I can tell you firsthand how good their product is. The glove I've been wearing since 2014 is Hopi's Rawlings glove that he got in 2000. Think about that. I'm wearing a glove that will be 24 years old this summer. If that doesn't tell you just how good their product is, I don't know what will. Rawlings, check them out wherever you get your ball gear. Trust me, you will not be disappointed. Hey, what is going on, everyone? Hope y'all had a fantastic week. Welcome to episode 159 of Outside the Shoot. I'm your host, Randy Frame. What an awesome one we have for you this week as we sat down and chatted with Oklahoma Sooners alum, where she was a 2021 national champion and current graduate assistant with University of Central Florida, the one and only Shannon Sale. What a career Shannon has had so far. She was 2017 Conference USA Freshman of the Year, along with being a two-time first-team Conference USA pick during her time at FIU, and then a two-time All-Big 12 Conference selection, along with being a national champion, as previously mentioned, during her time with the Sooners. Shannon would then go on to play pro with the Florida Vibe after college, and then has played the last two seasons with Athletes Unlimited. During this time, she has also jumped into the coaching side of things, where she was a graduate assistant in 2022 with OU and captured another national championship, and now with the UCF Knights, where she's been since last season. We're going to talk to Shannon about getting her start in the game, how she just wanted to pitch. It's a great story. The journey to FIU, the transfer to OU, of course, the story program of the Sooners, and much, much more. Shannon was such a pleasure to chat with. This was one of those conversations that just kept flowing, and I'm sure we could have chatted even longer. This was a great one. With that being said, this is Outside the Shoot, and anything goes.
I've got the world in my palm. Lights, camera, action, it's on. I can't describe what I'm feeling. Ain't never felt this freedom. I've got the world in my palm. Lights, camera, action, it's on. Ain't never felt this freedom. Could you say that anything goes?
Here we go. We are happy to have on with us today, 2017 Conference USA Freshman of the Year, two-time All-Big 12 Conference selection, 2021 National Champion with the Oklahoma Sooners, and current graduate assistant with UCF, the one and only Shannon Sale. Shannon, thanks so much for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, no problem. I'm very excited to see what we're going to talk about today.
Yes. How's things going down in Florida this evening?
It's good. I mean, the weather has been really crazy this year. It's been a lot of rain. So we've had quite a few rainouts. So just trying to navigate with that. But we play tomorrow, first Big 12 series against Kansas. So looking forward to that and just seeing what this team has in store for them.
Yeah, Jayhawks are in town this weekend. What's the scouting report on them?
I would say they have a good lefty pitcher that we're going to have to just adjust to her sweepy curveball. And then pitching wise, I think just be dominant with our stuff and command the zone and not get too ahead of ourselves.
So is that what your focus is on the team? Is that you're dealing with the pitchers?
Yeah, I'm in the bullpen with them. I prepare them for scouts. I, just help calm the nerves, help get them prepared for game. 9-1-1 hot, you have time. Just navigating that situation for them and just keeping it light in there. That's what I like to do.
Nice. So how are you liking the coaching thing?
I like it. I think today I had a really, really good day just seeing the pitchers themselves break through some barriers that if they've been struggling with something, and it's just really cool to see the athletes figure it out. I think that's my favorite part of it all.
Yeah, for sure. Nothing better than watching, especially as a pitcher. Cause I mean, I'm a pitcher myself. I've been pitching for 40 years, and I know first, like, watching somebody, like, especially that you're giving instruction to, or, dealing with, seeing them succeed is just the best.
Yes, it really is. Cause you know how hard it is. Yes. Like, it's hard being a pitcher and it's hard facing great hitters and it's hard failing, even though like hitters fail more than us. Our failures are a little bit more prominent and yes. You see them a little bit more in your face. So it's just really awesome to see them succeed and see them be happy. Like, I feel like pitchers are the hardest on themselves.
Yeah.
Over it. Yeah. So it's just great to see it work out for them.
Definitely. Absolutely. So was coaching always on the radar for you, or did this just come out of the blue?
I think when I got to Oklahoma, for sure. At FIU, wasn't really sure. I was so young, I didn't really know. But
who does?
When I got to Oklahoma, I kind of just like fell in love with coaching because of Coach Gasso and Coach Rocha.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. And then them telling me they think I would be a good coach was kind of a good...
Well, yeah. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're,
when Coach Gasso said, oh, yeah, you'll be a great coach. Oh, okay, yes, I will be.
Yeah, so I kind of... I felt it out and I've really enjoyed it. So I graduate this May and I will be on the lookout for whatever jobs come my way.
Awesome. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. So anybody listening out there? All right. Well, we'll get into the coaching a little bit more down in the podcast here.
Okay.
I got a little thing I like to kick off the podcast with. It's called Quick Pitches. I'm going to hit. If you listened, you it's just random questions. I'm going to throw it out there and you answer them as best you can.
Okay.
All right. First one. If you had to live off one meal for a week, what would it be?
Probably chocolate covered strawberries.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
I guess you're getting your fruit and you're getting your sugar at the same time. I mean, it's a win-win situation.
It's my favorite food.
All right.
Yeah.
Next, biggest thing you miss at OU?
Coach Rocha and Coach Gasso.
Okay. All right. On a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the best, rate your karaoke skills.
Oh, like a 7.
Well, that's solid. That's good.
Yeah, I think I like to have fun with it. The singing may not be there, but I'm definitely not nervous, but also depends on the crowd I'm around.
True.
I'd be
enough.
Nervous at first, but then I'll get into it.
Yeah, but see, half the battle is the showmanship. So I mean, if you have the showmanship, you're getting a high mark.
Yeah. So I think that's it. But if I go up there with a friend, I won't be nervous at all.
Exactly.
I'll belt it out. So
nice. Do you have a go-to song?
What's Up by the Three Dumb Blondes.
Oh, yes.
Three Blondes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Great tune.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Favorite uniform color combo with OU?
All red. Red socks, red stirrups, red pants, red. I mean, that's what we want our natty in.
Yeah.
So.
Good point. Actually, at UCF, you guys got sick unis too. So, I mean, with the girl, what's the favorite one at UCF?
The pinstripes. Those are my favorite. Yes. Those are so awesome. Look like the Vandy baseball pinstripes, and I love those.
Oh, they do too. Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Those are nice.
Yeah. Trapped on a deserted island and can have three things. What are they?
Oh, wow. My phone.
Hopefully the cell service is good.
Oh, yeah, I know. Like a very nice pillow.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking practical, but I don't want to. So I'm not going to say a water canister. Maybe like my headphones. Okay. And they're charged by solar.
And the phone needs to be charged by solar too, because I mean, you want to
charge it. Yeah. You didn't know that?
If you could go back and play one game over again, which one is it?
Probably. Wow, that's tough. One of my favorite games we ever played was 2021, the second game against Oklahoma State. We lost the first game of the series, so our backs were against the wall. And that was just a really fun and exciting team win.
Yep.
That was a really fun game. Yeah, I would go back and relive that.
Okay. All right. Favorite show to binge watch?
Love is Blind.
You know what's funny? I think I've watched 2 episodes of that in my entire life.
It's so good. I don't know what it is, but it's
It's a great one. It's a great concept, actually. It's funny.
Yes.
I've seen it. Like, I've seen a lot of people posting now about Love is Blind, and mm-hmm. it makes, I'm like, especially like people in the softball world have been posting about Love is Blind. I'm like, maybe I should get back into this. Because it's been a few years since I actually watched
it. This season's really good. So okay. We're going to get back into it. This season's pretty good.
All right. Good to know. I'm writing this down right now. I got to go back and watch Love is Blind from the season. Okay. A few more here. Toughest hitter you faced to date.
Oh, wow.
That's a tough one.
Yeah. Haley McClenney is so tough.
I guess.
She's the toughest. Haley McClenney for sure. So tough.
I'm sure a lot of pitchers would say that.
Yes. Like, she just fouls everything off, just like touches everything. It's just like, I say annoying in the box, not annoying person. Great yes. person. Just annoying in the box. You're like,
I know exactly what you mean. Yes.
That's one her.
Yep. I'm with you on that one. I know what you mean.
But there's so many in the AU. Like, yes. I feel like every hitter in AU.
Well, I mean, they're all pro players, of course. You know yes. what I mean? Like, there's mm-hmm. a reason. Best part of coaching. And I mean, we probably touched on it.
I said earlier. Yeah. I mean, just seeing them, like the light bulb turn on and something happening that they didn't think they could do. I think that's my favorite. And then them just being like, you said it and I did it. And I'm like, I told you.
I told you that would happen.
Yes. And then just being like, oh, okay. It can happen. I can trust.
That's
and,
right. That's such a yeah. That's so awesome. Last one. If you could have dinner with three people, living or dead, who would they be?
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow, this is tough. I'm just gonna go for like people I like today. I would say I really want to meet Ariana Grande and have dinner with her. I really like her.
Nice.
I would like to meet Michelle Obama as well.
You're not the first person to say that on here.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Good. And then my Uncle Joe. He passed in 2019. So just having him at the table again, that'd be cool.
Great conversation. What? That'd be having those three there. You'd be like, eh, let Michelle do all the talking.
Yeah. There's a lot of, there's different things going on right there. So
I guess there is. Holy cow. Wow.
That's a little bit of everything. Yeah. Interesting conversation there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Well, let's get on to your career. How did, tell us how little Shannon got her start in the game.
So little Shannon tried out for Little League, Atlanta Lakes Little League. My dad called my mom and said, holy crap, Kathy, she's got a cannon. And he's called me Shannon the Cannon since.
That's awesome.
And I wasn't pitching. I was playing outfield. And then eventually just, you know, found my way to pitching. Really wanted to pitch. And my mom's like, you have the attention span of a squirrel. So yes, I agree. Let's put you on the mound. I was doing cartwheels in the outfield. And my mom was like, we can't have this, Shannon. You can't be doing cartwheels out there. Because I was in gymnastics at the same time.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. And then got into pitching and really just fell in love with it. Like, really just loved pitching. I think more than I loved softball, which is crazy. So
how old were you when you started pitching?
I think I was like around the age of 10, 11 is when I first like started just throwing. I would say I didn't start getting lessons until I was 13, but I just naturally had just a decent mechanics. So my mom was like, okay, maybe like you can do something with this. Like, you really love it too. Let's get you in lessons. Mm-hmm. Wasn't good until I was like 15. So, I mean, it just was a lot of me really just loving pitching and not going to take no for an answer, really. Because some people are like, you're so good at outfield. Like, you need to play outfield.
I don't understand. Like, as a pitcher, like, I've played the outfield a couple times, like, just because I had to go out there because there was nobody on the bench. And I cannot judge a fly ball in the outfield at all. Because I'm so, you know, as a pitcher, you get line drives back, or if there's like that occasional, like, pop up that you have to get because the first or third baseman can't get over to get it.
Yeah.
But I found being in the outfield, you have time, and as a pitcher, thinking is not exactly, you know, like no. The catchers do all the thinking for you. That's, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? But I cannot judge a ball in the outfield, but I mean.
Yeah, I was like, I don't want to be in the outfield. Put me, I'm going to pitch.
Yes.
So it took that, and it took me just telling people, no, I like pitching. I think I could be good at it one day. And they're like, okay, whatever. Okay,
well, I mean, it worked. You stuck with it. So who did you play travel ball in high school with?
Oh my gosh. I went to Lana Lakes High School. But when I talk about travel ball, I played for any team that would let me pitch. I played for a few teams in the area, and they just were like, Shannon, you are not going to pitch for us. And I was like, well, I want to pitch, so adios. And I ended up joining a Sarasota Heat team, and that was with a few of the Chamberlain High School coaches in the area, and they just really believed in me, and they're like, yeah, you have great stuff, like we're gonna let you pitch, we're gonna let you fill this out, we're gonna let you ride this out, you can, as long as you hit for us. And they just let me pitch, and I fell in love with pitching. And then eventually I stayed with that team for a little bit until they like dismantled or something, and then I ended up finishing with Miami Stingrays, because that's the organization my college coach kind of had his hand in. So now that's who I ended up playing for. But anyone that would pitch me, I was like, I just want reps. I want to pitch. I'm tired of people telling me no. I know I'm good enough. I just need someone to believe in me. So that's how that happened.
Did you was there a moment like early on, I guess, when you were like just getting into the pitching, when you started believing in your stuff or anything like that? You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I remember it was my high school coach, actually. So my freshman year, I was our starting left fielder, and the high school coach would not let me pitch. Was just, again, like, I was basically a wild thing. Like, you didn't know what was going to happen when I went in. And then he got fired, and then a new coach came in, and he was just like, I believe in you. You have the stuff. You have the it. Like, you're going to pitch for me. I'm going to let you ride this out. And just him believing in me, shout out to Coach Mitch, if you're listening, he really just believed in me and really echoed everything that I needed to hear loudly. Like, it was just, I believe in you. You can do this, and you're great. Don't let anyone tell you differently. And just having that constant, finally someone other than myself saying that, was really important. And that was Coach Mitch at Lana Lakes High School. So him being that person is all I needed, really. And then again, my pitching coach, Heather, her being there and just constantly saying, like, not letting me give up. I think, you know, you see so many kids that give up on pitching because so many people tell them, right, well, you're not gonna be good enough. So she never let me give up. And I don't think I would have ever given up. I'm so strong-willed that I was like, no, I'm not. I know I'm good enough. It's just going to take everyone else to see what I see.
Yeah. That's great. And one thing, I'd hate to have a pitching coach say, oh, I don't think you're going to be good enough. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you need that coach that totally believes in you.
Like, yeah. It's a big thing. Yeah. Her and Coach Mitch both just really believed in me. And pitching is hard. Like, especially nowadays it with is. These hitters and how much information they have on you. You just need someone to believe in you, really. You just need someone to continuously tell you you're going to fail, yes, but you're going to succeed. Just keep going. Yeah. And it was really just those two people that helped me move forward with pitching and helped me stay in love with pitching and in love with the game. So yeah,
right on. So let's talk the recruiting process. what led to the decision to attend FIU?
I had only one D1 offer, and it was FIU. I was a senior in high school, still uncommitted. I was just about to commit to a junior college. I was like,
wow.
I was just about to commit to a school in Pensacola, and FIU came around, the offer showed itself, and I mean, I took it. I was like, D1, I want to go D1.
and I want to pitch. I'm pitching.
Yeah. I think this was like literally September of my senior year. So it was very late. Yeah. Very late. And I tell people this, so like, what? You had every school in the book when you were transferring. I'm like, yeah, we only had one D1. I mean,
I mean,
but I think it made me who I am. I mean,
oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I think it was a great, like those 2 years at FIU were definitely like building blocks for me. And I really liked my 2 years there. And I was just ready. I wanted to win. I wanted to.
Yeah. It makes sense. I mean, yeah. Actually, how was campus life there? Because you know what's funny? I actually checked out the campus yesterday online because I was like, I got to look at FIU and it looks pretty sweet.
Yeah. I mean, I loved the camaraderie of the athletes there is pretty cool. Like all the athletes stay in pretty much the dorms and it's a commuter school. So really the people staying on campus are athletes. So you always felt very like there's so many football players at our games, baseball players, like everyone went to each other's games and were really close, which I thought was really cool. And coming in as a freshman there, you really felt connected to the other freshmen. Mm. I thought they did a great job at FIU. And I loved the campus. I thought it was everything I needed, being a Florida kid, being close to home, and then playing Division I softball.
How far away from home were you? Like
it was about 3 hours. I'm from Tampa.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Right on.
Yeah.
So how did you find the adjustment to college life? Was it an easy transition, you know, as far as like, you know, off the field?
Well, I didn't understand why I wasn't like, you know, you're the best on your team when you're in travel ball. I didn't understand why I wasn't starting right away. I was like, give me the ball. I want to pitch. And the first game I threw in, I think I had 11 strikeouts and 11 walks.
I know you had 11 strikeouts. I know that.
I don't quote me on the walks, but I know it was up there. It was either 8 or 11. And my pitching coach was like, okay, we're a 1-for-1 ratio. We need to get to a 3-to-1. We need to have 3 strikeouts to 1 walk. So I think that was the biggest adjustment for me. But my whole thing is I don't want anyone to touch my ball. Like, I'd rather walk you. Definitely changed that way of thinking. I was like, why am I not playing every single game? Well, you can't pitch in 5 games in a weekend. You have other, like, you need to stop. I think I was just getting ahead of myself too early. But I really liked the structure of college softball. I felt like I loved practice. I loved learning about the game. I loved the speed of the game more than I did in high school. I just kind of felt like there was others around me that were competitive. And that's what I really liked was that there was other people around me that were just as competitive as me.
Right.
So that was the best adjustment.
You only had 2 walks in that first game. I'm looking at it right now. But I
sworn it was like 11.
But I will say this, in your first like 7 games, you had a lot of walks.
Oh, I walked a lot of people.
Yeah.
That was my.
But you had a lot of Ks as well. You definitely had a lot of Ks.
Yeah, I think that was the. People were like, well, if she's going to walk the bases loaded, she might as well strike him out.
But I like the. You're like, I didn't want anybody to touch my ball.
Yeah. I remember one time we played Oklahoma State in a regional my freshman year at Florida. Hmm. And Kenny G said, it looks like you would rather walk a batter than let them hit it. He said that in an interview. My dad was like, he was like, it's a compliment. He's saying you're competitive. But I saw that and I died laughing.
I'm looking at that game. You had 6 walks in that game, but they only had 3. They only had 3 hits in that game.
Yeah, that was a good. I think I had a no hitter going into the 5th, but I had like 6 walks, like you said.
Oh, well, that's all right.
But now, if my girls walk someone, I'm like,
come on. That's awesome. So, I mean, obviously, the transition to playing side of it seemed pretty good, you know, as you were named Conference USA Freshman of the Year. But was there one thing about the college game that you were like, oh, I need to work on that after that first year?
After my first year, I really struggled with just anxiety in general. And to be completely candid, like I completely struggled with the anxiety and just the unknown, I think. Right. So that was like a big thing I had to work on was not like I would just constantly think about the game, just constantly like, oh, what if I did this? What if I did that? And I know great competitors do that, but it got to the point where I was just so anxious and I really had to work on that my sophomore year and still going into at OU. But that was something that for me, I didn't experience that kind of pressure before because high school is high school. And then travel ball, I wasn't I was always expected to be the underdog, so I didn't really think. But then I was expected to be the ace and then expected to be on all the time. So that's when I started to really get anxious and felt a tremendous amount of pressure. And just realizing now my role is different. I have to be able to perform under pressure, which became something that I used to my advantage to feel pressure instead of like letting it overtake me.
Right. Now, by you going through that, is that something you're able to use for yourself, you know, working with the girls at UCF right now?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I think I just tell them, like, I remind them, everyone feels this. Everyone, like, you, they always think, like, oh, there's no way you felt like how we feel. Like, and I'm like, no, I did. I've been there. I've felt pressure. I've felt nervous. I've felt all of that. And it's about how can we navigate through it and still be our best self? Like, I truthfully still feel like I'm trying to find the answer to that.
Yep.
But I still feel like me being able to relate to them and like validate their feelings, but then also coach them up and believe in them also shows how I am able to connect with them. I think that's the one thing that they're looking for is connecting to me.
Yeah.
As a GA. Yep. So, yeah.
Makes sense. The Rawlings Mantra Fast Pitch Bat helps you bring an elite level of focus, discipline, and power with you to the plate. Crafted with an innovative three-step inner barrel, this bat perfectly balances swing speed and massive pop. The fully reconstructed collar assembly creates the perfect harmony between flex and stiffness and is the number one choice for the Canadian Women's National Team. So the only question you need to ask yourself, what's your mantra? So, what led to the transfer to OU?
I was just honestly tired of losing 1-0 ball games, and I really wanted to win, and never in a million years would have thought OU would have called me.
Of all the teams, right? Like, you're like, ah, okay, Oklahoma.
It was crazy. I never would have in a million years thought University of Oklahoma Coach Gasso would have called me and been like, I want you on my team. And I was just blown away. I mean, going from not having any D1 offers to her calling me was,
yeah,
I think just a proud moment for myself.
So how did that conversation go anyway? Because I mean, I can only imagine getting that phone call and be like, are you kidding me right now?
Yeah, she called me a little bit later than the other coaches, like a day or two, and was like, I'm sorry, I've been on a plane to Japan. I'm calling you from Japan. And she was working with Team USA at the time. And I was like, oh, my gosh, right. She's calling me from right. Japan. She must really want me. And she's just like, you know, I saw, like, what are you looking for? And so I was like, I want to win a national championship. And she's like, you can do that here. And she's like, but we can't get you on a visit until 2 weeks because I'm gone for 2 weeks. And as soon as she came back, she had me on campus, and it was awesome. Just her just taking a chance on me. She's probably seen me throw a few games, but at that time, I don't know how much she saw of me, but just really enjoyed our conversation. And then just seeing.
Yeah. Cause you guys didn't play them. You guys didn't play them at all.
Yeah, no. Mm-mm. Not at all.
I was wondering that because I went back through the schedule because I was wondering the same. I was like, did you guys actually play at OU? And I was like, but of course, Coach Gasso watches everything. So
yeah. And I was just completely, like, I still feel like I can't find the words for how that made me feel. Just like someone telling me continuously, you can't do it. And then Coach Gasso calling me and wanting me on her team and just made me feel so proud of myself. And I know younger Shannon would have been very proud and
couldn't believe
where she ended up playing. So
when you went on your visit, what stood out in that visit? Was it like everything?
I feel like to me, what set them apart was the little things that they talk about of just how they have the championship culture and why you'll fit in and why your piece fits in and just Coach Gasso herself, just a strong woman that is going to bring out the best in me and then help me win championships along the way. Mm. And just how competitive they are there. Every single person there is so competitive. And that is me. And some people would have said that was my issue, is I'm so competitive. But they take that and bring out the best in you. Like, they love that you're competitive and they want you to be competitive and they foster a competitive atmosphere, which I wanted to be a part of. And I knew, like, before I even got on campus, I knew I was going to go there. I just knew. I was like, yeah, that was my last visit. And I was like, yep, this is where I'm going. I'm just...
So how crazy was it getting there? And I mean, finally putting that historic uniform on for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really surreal. It's just going from, again, only a D1 offer and then playing for Oklahoma. I was like, how is this my life right now? I think it took me a minute to just really, you know, soak in the moment and being like, you deserve this. I think that was the hardest thing, was saying I deserve this. It was just surreal. It was like, my parents are here. They're wearing Oklahoma stuff. Like, how do they feel? Like, they sacrificed so much for me and I finally made it. And it's just that moment of, wow, I still get excited and giddy and like, I can't believe I played there.
And I mean, you get there mm-hmm. and not only that, you get to go to the Women's College World Series that first year there.
Yeah, we went three times.
I know. So, I mean, that first one, what do you remember most about that first one? Because I mean, I've talked to, you know, different players mm-hmm. on here that they talk about the atmosphere there and mm-hmm. you know, the intensity of it all. What do you remember most about it?
I remember just how many fans were there and just like the legitimate payoff of your season. Like, you being like, oh, wow, like this was a hard season and we get to finish it at the best place. But I'm probably going to talk differently about it because we lost to UCLA, but I felt an extreme amount of like, I was really upset and just really embarrassed of like how I threw. And I was like, I'm never going to feel that way again. And just really grinding that summer. Yeah. That's really what I remember. Obviously, it was my first World Series, so it was like really exciting. But I felt like it was weird. I felt like I belonged there because of the people around me. Like, I had Shay there, I had Sid there, I had CeCe there, I had Fale. I had all those historic players who have won back to back. And I just kind of felt like they brought me up with them, like, okay, we're here, so let's act like we've been here type thing. And then it kind of just became like a, okay, second of taking it all in, then a second of I'm really upset of how this year went and I'd never want to feel that way again. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, you obviously put the work in, but then, I mean, 2020 happened.
Yep.
So how much of a emotional roller coaster was that month of March anyways? Because I mean, you, Mendy and G were all seniors. And I can only imagine what that must have been like.
I kind of just felt like, wow, I really put in a lot of work to not feel that way again. And then still again, like, I was pretty upset with how I was pitching that year. I didn't feel like I was throwing that well. And I kind of felt like really upset with how I threw, and again, worked my butt off in COVID to never feel that way again. So it was just like, constantly trying to learn from those mistakes. But again, March, I was just like, what? Like, I worked so hard and now it's gone. But then Coach Gasso would check in with us so much. Like, the seniors would always be like, hey, we're working on things. Don't worry, we're gonna have an answer soon. Like, don't stop. I never put down a ball. I never put down a weight. Like, I was continuously going. Like, yes, I was swinging in my backyard to a 9-hole, but I mean, still, I try to do everything in my power that I could just to stay ready. And she was always just like, it's looking good. We're going to get this year back for you guys. It was encouragement from her.
Yeah. So, I mean, when you found out that you were able to have that extra year, I mean, that must have been like a weight lifted off your shoulders. I mean,
oh yeah, absolutely. Awesome. Yeah. I remember calling the FGCL Ryan guy and I was like, hey, I need some reps. I want to come down and play summer ball. And he was all for it. Came down and played summer ball just to get ready for the season. And
Ryan Moore. Great. Ryan Moore.
Yeah, Ryan Moore.
We had Ryan. I had Ryan on the podcast.
Yeah, he was like, Shannon, yep, love to have you on. I love Ryan. Great guy. Got me. I played vibe for him.
That's right.
I really wanted some reps. And then being able to do that in Florida, my home, mm-hmm. that was really fun. So
yeah, Ryan's got a great setup going right now.
You know,
with that collegiate league And, yes. And of course, with the vibe, oh man, he's doing it good, I will say.
Yeah, I really love the Summer League. I really think it really has made a new platform for growth in players.
Yes.
I think like the players that don't play, being able to go home and develop is really awesome.
That's huge. It really is. Yes.
Yeah.
So easy to say 2021 is your most memorable season ever?
Yeah, I think I think my freshman year and 2021 were my favorite and I think best years of my career.
Yeah. I mean, you guys only had four losses all year that year. Like, do you remember who they were to?
Yeah, I do.
Who is it?
Georgia.
Yep.
Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
JMU.
Yep.
And Florida State.
In order as well. Nice.
You never forget the losses.
Of course you don't.
I do think it's pretty cool though how we got to avenge each loss. So
yes,
I will say that.
I guess you did.
Yes, we did. Because then we came back and played Georgia, beat them. Came back and played Oklahoma State, won the series. Came back and beat JMU twice. Came back and beat Florida State twice. So that, to me, if you have a loss, you got to learn something from it. And I feel like we did.
Redemption.
Yep. That was the year of redemption for sure.
100%. Now, before we get to that national championship, I got to ask about a few of the freshmen that year. Like, when you guys saw Tierra, Jada, Nicole, were you guys like, oh yeah, we got this? Because, I mean, they're special players.
Yeah, I think that was the vibe first practice. We were like, yep, okay.
Yeah.
We're good.
And then seeing the first weekend Tierra had, like, we're like, what is going on right now?
I actually wasn't there that first weekend.
Oh,
I
you
was
weren't?
But I did watch, and how many home runs was it? Like, what, two like in one game?
Four, I can't even 423, remember. I think. Like,
yeah,
she went off.
It's pretty wild. It's pretty wild how good she is and how all of those freshmen came in so mature and so ready to play at this level. So I think that was just speaks volumes to who they are as players, really.
And it speaks volumes to the culture of OU.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes. Like,
and getting them prepared to, you know.
Absolutely.
It's just ridiculous.
It was a fun fall. We played a lot of inter squad. I don't even think we played other teams in Oklahoma. I think the whole fall we played inter squad, and I think that's what made us so good.
Yeah, no wonder the freshmen come out flying then. Playing against yourself. Oh, wow. Yeah, definitely.
The toughest lineup I've ever faced was my own team.
Yeah, definitely. Well, let's talk that Women's College World Series. I mean, it not exactly the way you wanted to start, was it?
No.
No.
But I do think I will tell you this. Me and Jossie get back in the room. She looks at me. She's like, I'm so sorry we didn't score enough runs for you today. I was like, I'm so sorry I didn't pitch better today. She's like, no, you pitched well enough to win. And then she looks at me and goes, but we're going to win this damn thing. Like, okay. I just know it. And I was like, I know it too. And then we ended up winning. So it was pretty cool.
I mean, it was definitely a coming out party for Odyssey Alexander. I mean, she had a fantastic tournament and
did so well. I mean, yeah, I think you talk about someone teaching, like treating you like an underdog. No one should have done that to her.
You know what? Here's a funny side story that not a lot of people know. So when that was going on, I had tweeted out on our Outside the Shoot Twitter account that, you know, this was like a Cinderella story for JMU. The responses I was getting back saying this is not a Cinderella story. These people, like, okay, here's my thing. I want to go back and see how many people had JMU getting out of regionals, let alone making it to the Women's College World Series and beating Oklahoma in the first game. So
I don't think that was on a lot of people's bingo cards. But
definitely not. And I was catching so much flack for it. And I was like, I just sat back and gritted my teeth. I was like, all right, fine. I'll let you guys have
She's always been a great pitcher. But again, like you think like powerhouse, you think Oklahoma, and you just don't have that on your bingo card.
Right.
Like, it's just not there. Yeah, no, absolutely. It was 100% like it would have been a Cinderella story. And I think people love that. And it, all hats off to her. She's a great pitcher. Oh, and
100%.
Yeah. So it's really tough to beat that lineup and stay in the whole game.
So what was after that first game, what was said by Coach Gasso and the leadership group after that opener?
She's like, it's win just or go home game. Now.
Well, I guess.
Yeah.
Or just say, you know, it's one game. Like, let's tie our shoes up here and let's get down to work.
I think, we went home. I mean, obviously, it's only 20 minutes away. We went home. We practiced at home on our day off. And we just really connected as a team and just decided, you know, it's win or go home and leave it out all on the field. And we played really, I think that's why that Oklahoma State loss and coming back and winning the series was a really good turning point for us that year.
Right.
We got to experience having our backs against the wall and coming out on top. So I think we've already experienced it. There's no reason to overcook the sauce, you know, stay the course, stay the same. And I think that's what we did really well as a group. Yeah. And it was just a really good team that year. Just a really meshed well, good team.
That's a great saying. Don't overcook the sauce. That's a great saying. I never heard that before.
I always say that. When I like watch softball and then the team does something that they're going away from that's helped them win, I'm like, why are you overcooking the sauce? Like, you have the sauce perfect. You don't need to overcook it or add anything.
That's such a great analogy. Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. Actually, a little sidebar. I got to ask about that World Series. What was it like getting those upper tier decking seats put in Hall of Fame Stadium? Because I mean, that had to add to the whole atmosphere surrounding that tournament.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I remember telling myself, don't look up. I was just like, stay locked in on Elam. Yeah. Don't look anywhere else. And I really didn't. I didn't look anywhere else except at the very last inning. I just looked around. I was like, wow, this is pretty cool.
Yeah. So I mean, of course you guys would go on to take out FSU, two games to win the final. Walk us through that, the final out and the emotions involved. Because didn't G caught that final out?
Yes, she did. So that last game, we were both in the bullpen warming up. We always had like a pitcher ready right away. And I just happened to be that pitcher that day. And G and I just looked at each other like, it ends tonight. I mean, leave it all on the field and just encouraging each other. Even though she was starting, just her encouraging me and me encouraging her. And then when the final out happened, I feel like I was like breathless. I feel like we all just started running out towards the mound and crying, everyone just like screaming and no, like everyone just looking at us like in disbelief, but like knew we had it, knew we could do it. But like just that feeling of, wow, it happened. And I think back to like troubling times I've had and just being like, wow, this is like all worth it. Like Coach Gasso really does mean it when she says it's all worth it. Like the triathlon, you're crying and sweating and you can't move your legs and it's all worth it. It's all worth it. And it really is. I mean, there's no other feeling like it that I can compare it to. Just so far in my life, I can't. But that's just amazing. Being able to, it's such a good feeling. You're doing it alongside some really good friends, and you're crying because you're so happy, but you're also crying because it was so hard.
Yeah. Oh yeah, 100%. Well, I mean, was that the World Series where Mendy went into the wall when she went for the foul ball?
The last out, yeah.
Yes.
She went for the foul ball, and yes, like. Scorpioned out there, and we're like, Mendy, we would have had to carry you off the field. We wouldn't have been able to dogpile.
Oh my jumpers! I talked to her about that on the podcast, like because I brought that up.
I didn't
up
know
to
she
her.
Was hurt because she got right up.
I know, right? Like I said to her, I was like that. Like when I saw that on, I was like, shoot, there's no way she's getting up, but she popped right back up and was like, oh, I'm all right. I'm like I know,
and you know what? She made a catch similar for that. Similarly like that in our super regional to take us to World Series. But like she caught it, but like caught it off the wall. Like it was a pretty crazy catch. And we're all going wild, but we're like, oh my gosh.
Is she okay?
Yeah. Like literally check on you first. Are you right? All right. Now we can party.
Yeah. But see, that's what takes to win championships, right? You need the sacrifices, right? Like that.
Yes.
It's just plays like that is what wins you championships.
Yes. Yeah. And she is very like just championship Mendy. Yep. So
that's a good way to put it. So you went back in 2022 as a graduate assistant, didn't you?
I did. Yes.
So here's a question. What was it like having a front row seat to Jocelyn's home run record?
Oh my gosh, that was really cool. I just, it happened in Hawaii.
And now, I was going to say, so how special. Cool was it that, you know, it was in Hawaii? That's amazing.
I mean, all the people that were scared to throw to her before that, you know what? Thank you.
Yeah.
Because it happened in front of all her friends and family. It happened in her home state, and she's so proud of her home state. So I think that was really special for her. And then it just opened the floodgates for her. Mm. I don't think she was pressuring to get to that at all. I think it was just like, okay, finally waiting for it to happen. So now people can actually like stop walking her.
Right.
But yeah, no, it was so, I got brought tears to all of our eyes, just so proud of her. And the fact that it happened in her home state, I think that was the coolest part.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I mean, for her, was it, well, not just for her. I mean, as a team, was it getting frustrating, the intentional walks?
Yes, I was getting mad. I was like, just throw to her.
I was too. I was like,
yeah, because you know what? Tiara Jenny's going to hit a home run next too.
Exactly.
And I have a 2-run home run instead of a 1.
Tiara's like, I'm raking up these RBIs right now because of this.
Yeah. I was like, okay, well, I guess it's a 2-run bomb instead of a 1-run bomb. Like, 1-run bombs are always better than 2-run bombs, yeah. As my dad says.
Yes, that is true. That's true.
Yeah.
And actually, another little side thing I had to ask about that Jocelyn's last game there in 2022 mm-hmm. when they pulled her. But the mm-hmm. craziest thing was that she caught the 2 outs prior to that.
Oh my gosh.
Like,
it was like we put her in and both outs found her.
It was amazing, is what it was. It was just
really
like,
was.
Like how, like the chances of that happening are like slim to none. And
yeah, but
they happened.
What a crazy seventh inning.
Oh, was it ever?
Oh
was
my
it
God.
Ever? But yeah, that, no, that's just what a way for her to go out.
I think even she was like, wow, they both found me. But yeah, for her to get a standing O at the World Series was pretty cool.
Absolutely.
I mean, she deserves it. She is the home run queen.
She did okay.
she did all right.
She did all right for herself. So how did the opportunity at Athletes Unlimited come about?
So I received a phone call actually to come and pitch for them after my senior year. And I was already committed to being a GA. So I said, you know what? Like, I can't miss that much. And then they're like, okay, well, how about next year? And I said, yeah, I'll come next year. So I had that in line to go next year. And the dates were changing, so it worked out a little bit so I wouldn't miss so much school and so much softball, like with the team. So when that opportunity presented itself, I was super excited. I really wanted to play pro. Just didn't know what it would look like for me because the WPF, I don't think was a thing then when they were asking me, but I'm really glad. Like, AU is so wonderful.
Oh, it's fantastic. So. It's just something different. And it's just, it's like I've said on here many times, everybody looks like they're having so much fun.
Yes. They've really created just a good atmosphere of treating women how they should be in
100%.
The professional sports. Yeah,
definitely.
I think that's where I just really commend them and really just appreciate their efforts to make us feel like we belong in professional sports.
Have you figured out the point system yet? Because I had Georgina Corrick on here a couple weeks ago mm-hmm. and we talked about it. And she's like, I still don't know what's going on. Like,
I don't keep track of my own points. I'm sure there's people who do. For me, it's just like, I'm just not going to look at it until it's the end.
Right. Just go and play the game.
Yeah, because the game itself is against these athletes itself is already stressful enough. I can't worry about losing 10 or not losing 10. I need to worry about getting out.
That's right. Actually, a question. As a pitcher, when you got to AU, did mm-hmm. you find you had to pitch different, like as far as, you know, the big, I think I, this is me speaking. I would figure, you know, trying to hit your spots would be the biggest thing in that.
Yeah. So, just trying to figure out the strike zone too. And I was injured the last 2 years I've been playing.
Oh, really?
Just trying to, I've been having hand problems. I have I had carpal tunnel in both hands, and then I had really bad arthritis in my hands, and I just was having a bunch of hand problems. And that, on top of just like trying to navigate, like, what am I like outside of college athletics? Because college, just especially OU, they feed you with information. They give you all, like, you have one through, like, you are comfortable with each other. You're comfortable with your pitch call. You're comfortable, like, you know, just all those things. And then just constantly being uncomfortable in AU is what I feel like I had to navigate through. Right. Like, I never felt comfortable. Like, at OU, I was, like, knowing at 1 through 9 hitter what I was going to throw to them. But it was always changing. And they had seen you so many times. So you're like, okay, do I have to throw something new? Do I have to change up how I throw my curveball? Do I have to change up how I throw my two-seam? Like, what am I doing differently? So I think that... trying to figure that out and trying to be okay with being constantly uncomfortable, I think was the number one thing for me.
That would be tough. Did you rely a lot on your catchers?
Yeah, I really liked throwing to Taylor Edwards. She calls a really good game.
Who wouldn't?
I know. She just calls a great game and really just like believes in you. Just a really good soul. I mean, yeah, really just connecting with her is so awesome.
Yeah. So, I mean, what's the future hold?
I'm really unsure right now.
Yeah.
I don't know right now. No idea. Because I graduate in May. So just trying to figure out where I'm at with that. And then if I keep playing, I keep playing. If not, then I stop.
So is head coaching thing in the future for you, do you think?
Oh, I don't know about head coaching. I think assistant for now. And then once I, like, because there's so many things that go into coaching that aren't actually coaching. So, like, seeing that from an assistant coach standpoint until I feel ready for maybe head coach.
Right.
But
yeah, that makes
sense. There's so much that goes into it that I still have yet to learn, you know, but I think learning from Bear has been really awesome.
That's true. I mean, you are still young. So, I mean, that's one of those things, you know, over the years. I mean, if you know, say you're 5 to 10 years into an assistant coaching position, maybe by that time at the 10th year, you're like, oh, well, I want to dip my feet into this head coaching thing. I mean,
yeah,
that's probably something, I guess. Yeah, that's silly for me to even ask about a head coaching position.
Like, I don't even think I'm opposed to it. I really do. I still think there's so much I have to learn. Like, just seeing the day-to-day stuff that goes into all of this, you really have to know your stuff. And then on top of that, you're coaching 10% of the time. I'd say, like, I would think head coaching is 90% behind the scenes, 10% on the field.
So you're saying Coach Gasso makes her paycheck?
I'm saying, I don't know how he does it.
I don't, yeah. You know what? I don't know how any of them do it because it's such
really,
a laborious job. In my head, I would love to be in a coaching position, especially NCAA, you know, being a part of that whole culture and everything. But at the same time, I can only imagine how much work goes into it.
Oh, yeah. I feel, I just see that in Bear herself, is she has 3 kids. And I'm like, how do you make time? Like, I can't even fathom, like, being a full-time mom of kids under 8. Like,
really,
3 kids under 8. Yeah, like, superwoman. Like, literally superwoman. But it's really cool to have that role model of you can make it work. Yep. So, that's important.
Absolutely.
For these girls, I think.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And
for
me as well, you know.
Definitely, definitely. All right. Well, we have a thing I like to end the podcast with. I call it the Player Association. I'm gonna throw out some names to you. You're definitely gonna be familiar with them, so you can touch on them, tell them, say what they meant to you. If you have a funny story, let that fly as well. I mean, it's all good. No holds barred in this Player Association. So
I just talk about them.
Just talk about them. First one, friend of the show, G. Juarez.
My left hand. I would say that we've been through a lot together, and it's been really cool to see her go through so many injuries and so many adversities and come through the other side and always being a great teammate and great friend of mine. So we called each other our left and right hands. So that's G to me.
Oh, G. next up is Grace Lyons.
Best arm in college softball. And
I agree.
Yeah. That's it, period. Just a woman of her faith and just really inspiring to a lot of young girls and the best shortstop I think I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Her and Jen Salling are close, though. So,
and you got to see Sis Bates as well.
I know. So many good ones. But Grace Lyons is my favorite to look back at.
There you go.
She was always my person that I had my – I was like, okay, Grace, I'm going to look to you when I'm freaking out, and you're going to calm me down.
There you go.
Grace was my person.
All right. Next up, I have Jada Coleman.
Energetic. Just so competitive that it was just always going to fire you up and always just, it was so fun facing her because you either made her mad or she either made you mad. But you were always hugging at the end of it. like the most competitive girl I've ever met in my life, but also the sweetest girl I've ever met in my life. So like thankful and great girl. Like love her. Her family is great family. And whenever I think of Jada Coleman as well, I think of her. I think it's her uncle or her grandpa saying, don't help her to the umpire. And I'm like, yep, don't help her. Don't give her a strike. So
that's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Another friend of the show, Jen Salling, J Sal.
Oh my gosh. Just great softball mind. Bubbly person that you would look at her and not think that, but super bubbly. I can't believe I'm friends with her because I used to watch her on TV and I'm like, I get to go to work with this woman. Okay. And truthfully, just a trusting, great human, really trusts her peeps and is super loyal. I think that is something to me that is really important about J Sal. Just super loyal.
And she knows the game so well. Like,
knows it like the back of her hand, and just watching her play, it's crazy how someone can make that throw.
Yeah. Oh, so good. We love Jason.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Couple more here. I can't let you go without talking about Jocelyn Allo.
Oh, that's my best friend. Long distance best friends, we would say. Just my person that I go to for everything. I think of her, I think of the person she is. Like everyone else is like, oh, the home run hitter. I'm like, yeah, but she's so funny and she's so dorky and she loves Harry Potter and you would never expect that. And she's my go-to.
She's a Potter fan, is she?
Yes, she's so dorky. Oh. Me and her both love Potter.
Oh my
God. We went to Universal this December and she was ready to buy a cape. And I was like, okay, you stick to a sweater for now.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. Sam Fisher would be loving this.
Oh, yes. Her and Sam would be two peas in a pod.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's great.
She is the biggest dork. And I think that's why I love her. And just. We both love our makeup. We both love our runs to TJ Maxx. Like, that's me and her every day after practice, after a hard practice.
We're going to TJ Maxx.
Yeah, Starbucks and TJ Maxx. That was the go-to.
That's fantastic. That's great. That's such a great image to have.
Yes, like
TJ Maxx.
I'm like, I'll come throw you some BP. Let's go to TJ Maxx after.
Oh, that's great. And last, but certainly not least, Coach Patty Gasso.
Oh my gosh. I just get goosebumps thinking of her. Just so, I like lose words to talk about her, but just so calming, so ambitious, competitive, just the lady in charge that like you think of when you think of some like a boss lady, you think of her, but then you also are like, she's so cute because she's the cutest grandma, just a great mom. And other than that, like off the field, just worried about you as a person. And I don't know how she did that for all 25 of us or 22 of us, however many there were, but just always keeping it together for us. And to me, I think that's what makes a great head coach and a great role model, just keeping it together for the women that look up to you when you probably have so much going on.
Yeah.
But I just think great softball mind that wants her women around her to feel as empowered as her. That's what I think of when I think of her, for sure.
That's awesome. And I mean, you being in the coaching game now, I mean, you being able to, you know, touch base with her and bounce ideas off her head, that's so valuable to you.
Yeah, I really appreciate like the time I got to spend as not only a player there, but as a GA. Just learning from her and Coach Rocha was, and JT, I mean,
yeah,
they all have great coaching minds. I mean, it's literally priceless. So I think to me, that was just a great opportunity. And just getting to their families, like not only did we get to learn all these great softball tricks and all that, but got to meet their beautiful families. I mean, and incorporating that into our daily lives and getting to see that you can do both as a coach was really important.
Awesome. What a great way to end it. What a great way to end it. Listen, Shannon, this has been absolutely awesome. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to come on.
Yeah, no problem. I really actually enjoyed this. This was a lot of fun. I liked the two segments at the beginning and the end.
I like you said, I actually enjoyed this. Like
I get so nervous, but yeah, I had a great time.
I told you it was going to be a laid back chat. So yes, it was
super laid back. I got to talk about things that I actually really enjoyed about.
There we go. Listen, all the best with UCF this year. We'll definitely be rooting for you guys. And of course, all the best in anything and everything that you're going to do in the future.
Thank you so much. That means a lot.
You're welcome.
Go Knights. And there then you go. Say charge on, okay?
There we go. Charge okay. on. All right.
Okay.
Thanks, Shannon.
There we go. You're welcome. But I don't mind. See, I'm not going to let me go crazy. Not this time. Stepped out of my house in 7 days. Heaven shaved, heaven showered, heaven changed. Same clothes, different day. Another good morning pissed away. Hey, got the whole world looking right at me. Actually, feels like people starting to look past me. I've been around. Feels like this just might be a last dance. I'm frustrated, I'm past tense. I still don't feel like I has been. I don't, but it's like a ghost town up in the studio. Nobody comes around here no more. I guess it's just how the movie go. I don't like playing my old friends new songs. They don't listen to rap like back when. They all grew up, kinda moved on. And how could I blame them, huh? I used to sleep, eat and breathe the shit. But now the older I get, I'm questioning if I really needed this. I used to stress what people said and what people thought about me. Now I worry about if my daughter can make it home from school without me. But still at the same time as I'm writing this rhyme, I'm in my kitchen. My daughter's trying to tell me about a day I hear but not really listening. I'm staring at her, but in my head I'm putting these words together. I know that I need to do better, cause what I do now could change forever. Shadows swimming in my head lately, but I don't mind. I'm not gonna let me go crazy, not this time. It's a fall from paradise. I'm going through changes that I've been here before. And I know I'm so indecisive these days. And musically, I feel confused. Don't know what I'm like in these days. I just think it's time to check all the new shit. Plus all of the